So, I saw Willy Wonka 2. Bit confused.
Sorry, Willy Wonka
Yeah.
2?
So he's kind of stopped making chocolate now, and for some reason he's moved to the desert with his mum.
Did I?
And he's fallen in love with your mum from Spider-Man.
What?
And now, he's got to, overthrow all these bold people who I think have moved into his factory or something. It's really,
Oh,
really
no, 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 no,
odd.
no, no. No, mate. Mate. Stop. Stop. That's Dune Part 2, not Willy Wonka Part 2.
Ah, that would make more sense. Loompa Oopity Doo went and saw Dune 2. Sorry, I couldn't think of anything else. Hello.
Hello,
It's been a
hello.
while.
It has been a little
It's been a
while.
few
Yeah,
weeks.
yeah, yeah.
Well, oh, sorry, we should probably say hello. Hello. Welcome to the Fantasy Film League podcast. I am
Yes.
Mr. Birch, as always.
And I am also Mr. Smith, also.
Before we go any further,
Yes.
you brought biscuits.
I did.
Now,
Well, the generally speaking, the hospitality at the Fortress of Birchitude is very good.
we have good
But I
biscuit
feel
game.
like there's a I mean there's like a deficit running here in terms of
No.
biscuits. So I brought some biscuits today.
We aren't keeping count, but I would last time you brought chocolate
Oh,
covered custard
yeah,
creams,
which
that
were
which
revolutionary.
they were amazing, but they caused absolute havoc in my place of actual work.
Really?
Because I mentioned them in my place of actual work,
Yes.
and everyone immediately said, go and get some.
Yeah,
So I had to
obviously.
walk to the nearest shop, and they only are available in one specific shop in the
Yes.
UK, and that's on the other side of the town where I work.
Right.
So I had to go to the other side of town and find these things, brought them back. They got, I had to get two packs
Because
because there's not that many in
you're
there,
in and you're in your place of
and I'm
work.
in my
Yep.
place of work, and they got completely demolished
Unsurprisingly.
and labeled either where they went from the greatest biscuit I've ever had
Yes.
to all right, yeah, to abomination.
Yes.
Right? And there was a complete
When I
just
saw
scale.
them, I started at the position of that's surely an
An
abomination, but
abomination.
I'm too curious not to try it
Well, the
out.
reason
But
that they
actually, I
were
think they're pretty good.
they were the reason that they were called an abomination, and I got to the bottom of this with one of my colleagues, was that he doesn't like any kind of cream biscuit.
Ah,
So
right. Okay.
bourbons, custard cream, anything like that. So he thought that it was an abomination anyway. So as a starting point. So I said, well then, first of all, a couple of questions. One, why did you take the biscuit? Because you
What
knew it was
is
custard cream. And there's only 12 of them. So you took one of the biscuits knowing that it was a custard cream. And he went, well, yeah, I want to give it back to that one. And I was like, but, okay.
What, so
Anyway.
like the chocolate acts as like an anti-cream. So at the best you're coming out even
I
and then
just,
you've
I
just got the
couldn't,
biscuit
I was
that's
like,
there.
mate, you're
No,
eating the biscuit.
that's
Why are you
what
eating the biscuit? Just put the biscuit down, right?
Yeah.
Right. I feel that we've gone off topic before we've even started.
Best immediate diversion. I think we've never gone off topic this fast before.
Sorry, it's just you brought biscuits and I'm just very happy.
Yeah.
We've actually got a lot to go through. So
Oh yeah.
we've got talk about Oscars.
Yes.
We've got to talk about the fact that we went to see Dune 2, which
Yes.
again now makes more
Woo.
sense, now I think about it.
So, and then from the sublime to the ridiculous, I believe you've gone and seen Madame Web.
Yes, and we've also next week, so we're recording this on a Saturday morning. Next Saturday, I do need to remind you that it is in fact Morbing time.
Do, do,
And
do.
we are going to do Morbius on Bad Film Club, which is
Bad
going to
Film
be
Club's back.
amazing. I'm struggling to make up the drinking rules because I've seen the film and I don't want to watch it again so close to the amazing event.
Oh,
But
I
so I'm trying to
see.
think up, so I'm having real difficulty.
I was wondering like why is it difficult? Because you don't want to go watch it to work out the rules. Right, I see.
I have to rely on my memory
Oh.
from last time,
Oh.
but I spent most of my time laughing, so I'm
Yeah.
not really paying attention
And
to the
perhaps just
plot.
trying to like scrub it from
Indeed,
your
yes,
mind.
two bottles of toilet duck, one in each nostril, and flush out the brain. That's kind of how bad we are. But We probably should start with the news. Do you want dubstep or do you want normal news?
Well, obviously dubstep.
I never say normal news.
It's in the news. The good thing about the dubstep one is it's long enough to get well into the chunky chocolate biscuits.
I'm partially finished my biscuit now, but I can. Right, so at the beginning of this year, we made some changes to the way that we score, and we've nerfed, which I believe is the term that the kids use. We've nerfed animation because it was basically causing too many problems.
Again.
So, if you aren't playing the game, the best tactic for you was to book anyone who was in a film. What is that noise? Is that a helicopter? Best thing to do was to do animation. What the hell?
It's like one of those little 1960s style helicopters.
Yeah. Sorry. We're getting easily. We're getting distracted. So, one of the things that we did, we nerfed animation, and we changed it from being top scoring for it to being a percentage of scoring if you were the voice actor, but we left the directors alone.
Yeah, and now we've nerfed the directors as well.
And then what's happened is we've had to nerf the directors because A, there's usually three of them in the film.
And now second, that's new.
That's definitely new. So now there's three of them to choose from, and you can absolutely max out your cast and rake it in, because these animation films, they hang around for an inordinately long amount of
time. It's a no-brainer, and a no-brainer in a game like this is not good.
However, we have had some pushback.
Every decision should
we've had some pushback, and someone said, well, the animation, the voice is a completely flat, and we treat the voice, anyone who's a voice in the film is treated as an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
And everyone is the same scoring. And now that Kung Fu Panda is coming out, everyone's kind of going, well, Jack Black should probably be more because Jack Black's the panda.
I kind of see where they're coming from.
Yep. But no. well, first of all, no, because we're not making a change halfway through the year, because it's not fair.
That's the most important.
And that's the most important rule. Yep. So we might change it for 2025, but we're not changing it for 2024. But it does mean that Jack Black is not a good pick. Mm. If you're going to max out your score for Kung Fu Panda 4, don't pick Jack Black because he's too expensive. Now, that said, is he going to be in other things? And he was in Super Mario Brothers as well, wasn't he?
So he's Bowser. And that was last year. This is this year. I think the thing is that the reason that we're sort of being a bit harsh on the animation is because it's always a no brainer, and
and it's a bit of a game breaker.
Yeah, in that sense, because they tend to hang around because our scoring does not reflect the box office takings, but the box office positions.
Yeah.
It tends to be that films that last longer are disproportionately more successful than in the real world. So we're trying to account for that a little bit.
Yeah, we're trying to balance that out. And we use the term 4 weeks of winning, which is roughly how long your film should be in the charts for you to reasonably make your money back, unless you're buying someone who's like 20 million, but you know what I mean. For example, Top Gun, last year, 2023, Top Gun would have been the film to have.
Mm.
Because Tom Cruise would have been very expensive, but it just ran and ran.
A bit like Wonka this year, actually.
Wonka is still in the top 10.
Timmy T, as my daughter calls him, is in two films.
Yes, he's possibly at number one and number 10. Mm. So Timothy Chalamet is a hell of a buy, because granted, it would have been better to have him last year when he was in my one. But June is going to be kicking around. We're going to talk about June later on because it was really, really good.
Yeah.
But it was so.
Now you could sort of argue that well then why aren't we nerfing the directors even further? But I think that the difference is that the directors will do one and only one film that year, maybe one and only one film for 5 years.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Whereas the people who are the voice actors may well, like we're talking about Jack Black, may well turn up in another thing. So there is a distinction between the two.
Yeah.
That's our reasoning.
And I think that's a really good point, because I'm not not disparaging voice work, because voice work is tricky, but it is less time consuming.
Frankly, I would rather that we had decent voice actors doing the voice roles than just the stunt casting that you get in everything. Yeah, I would actually say Jack Black's a pretty good voice actor.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of a lot of people who shouldn't. Yeah. So from
Awkwafina tends to do an awful lot of voice acting because she has a very distinctive voice. And when I say distinctive, I mean slightly annoying, but distinctive. However, she does a lot. She's in everything, right? So as a result of that, we have to, you're right. We have to draw the line somewhere, and we're drawing the line here.
Yeah,
it's this far, no further. I'm sorry. I went with Patrick Stewart there for a moment.
Yeah, it's imperfect, but we have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, we do. Now, the other thing that we're also, something else that we've been brewing up in the lab that you came up with the other day, which is deliciously evil.
I think maybe we should, I mean, this could turn into a huge thing. So maybe should we just like trail it here and then like leave it to the next
time? Really?
Leave about next time?
I'm going to drop that massive, we're thinking about doing something deliciously evil. I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, why not?
I wouldn't go as far as to call Dune 2 a comedy.
Right.
The funniest part of this, we went and saw Dune 2 together. So we went and saw it with a friend of ours. We went and saw it with your wife and your son.
Yes.
So five of us in line. And we saw it opening day because we all really wanted to see it. And very exciting about it. And we'll talk about it in a second. But the funniest thing was literally as the film starts, it goes, and it goes, Dune. And it goes, part two. And I leaned over to your son and went, listen, I haven't seen part one. Is that going to be a problem? And he just went, what, really? No, not really. For about half a second, he kind of went, what? It was in the first one. This is going to be panicked. So, Dune 2.
Yes.
It was really good.
Yeah, no, I rewatched it on, some streaming service the week before part one. Sorry,
part one, right? Okay, yeah. I was planning on doing that, but I didn't have time.
I felt it had been long enough, and I wanted to remind myself because it was 2022.
It was, and Dune part one ends. It just kind of goes right and stop, and you go, but no, not stop. Why is it stop? What? This is why I don't consider Dune part two to be a sequel. It's not a sequel. It is the second part of the film.
Yeah.
Now, when they made Dune part one, they didn't necessarily know they were going to be able to make Dune part two. They didn't have clearance.
It was such a gamble.
And then the film came out. It did extremely well. And they went, can we have another one of these? Like now? And you're like, well, I could have, get them all back together again.
Yeah.
So, but it is genuinely a... It is genuinely a part two, so I wouldn't say that it is a sequel. So it picks up.
Yes,
it picks up like immediately. Like he takes a step into the desert, and then the film starts with him completing the step.
It's immediate continuity. So,
yeah,
yes, pretty epic, isn't it?
Where do we start?
I mean, for me, part one was always like the roller coaster going up
the
hill at the start, going and you just sort of just crest the top, and you just see over the top, and then it's like, oh, cut, like, right, come back in 2 years. And then it's very much a roller coaster ride from the beginning of part two immediately. It's all payoff, really.
It's all payoff. I do have a couple of problems with it, though. Mm-hmm. Rebecca Ferguson, I love Rebecca Ferguson. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And she should be in more films. Have you seen Silo?
Yes. She's
really
great.
Really good sci-fi show called Silo, about people who are all living in like this huge bunker.
I was very wary of it because it felt very dystopian YA kind of setup.
Yeah.
But actually,
but the first two episodes are about two different characters. And then the whole story goes, yoink!
Very much
and then Rebecca Ferguson turns up and you go, that guy.
Yeah, there was one wobbly episode, but other than that though, overall it kept me.
It was good.
What's interesting is like a mystery sort of thriller type thing, and it was very good.
She was very good in that, and she's very very good in Dune too because she's not a good guy. She's not the goody.
No,
in fact, but no one is.
No, well that's what's lovely about it.
But the problem I have with the film is that she's a very very good strong female character.
Yes. Yes,
and
yes,
she's
yes.
the only one. Because Florence Pugh was in it wearing a can opener at one point. She looked like she was wearing dangly Swiss Army knives at some point.
Yes,
kind of thing. Yeah. She doesn't do an awful lot.
Very much in the sort of medieval chainmail.
Yeah, yeah. But she's just princess.
No, she's doing the Zendaya role in part one. She's doing that in part two. So I'm hoping there's a part three,
but Zendaya's not very good in this film either. Because she, again, is a bit like, just a bit...
better than part one,
where she just wistfully looked over her shoulder five times.
Yeah.
But still, I just kind of wanted a bit more of that kind of relationship. Because it, no spoilers for the film, but obviously people make decisions and galaxies turn on a heel. Mm. And when that happens, she just kind of goes, yeah, fine, whatevs. And you go, no, not yeah, fine, whatevs.
I didn't think it was a whatevs. I thought it was more like,
I don't know.
More like, screw this, I'm out of here.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Okay, so it didn't land for you.
They're my only problems with it. Yeah. Christopher Walken plays the Emperor.
Yeah. Christopher Walken.
Because he turned up, and
I mean, he looks old in this.
He does look old in this. But at the same time, I also just went, was Christopher Walken?
Yeah. That is the problem with casting someone like
him. Is it Austin or Austin Butler?
Austin.
Austin Butler.
Yeah.
He is amazing in this film. And
he's proper unhinged.
He is absolutely, absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And he's really good. And the whole scene...
A good upgrade from Sting in the 1984
Definitely.
Film.
And no leather pants.
Yes.
And the whole thing on their planet... Where there's a black sun, so everything is proper black and white.
Yes.
So when
did you like that?
I thought that was really clever. So there's an entire fight scene, but it's completely monochrome because the sun is infrared or something, and therefore everything is monochrome.
Like washed out.
So when you're indoors, it's normal color, but when you go out into the sunshine, it's proper black and white.
And the sort of weird fireworks and stuff as well. It's out there sci-fi.
It's proper out there. Yeah, it was really good. But he was great. But you always look at these absolute evil characters and you go, you know what? I bet he is the nicest bloke in the world. Like he's probably a vegan, and he's probably a Buddhist or something, and he meditates and he's got mindfulness training. And then he just plays total psychopath.
Yeah.
It's whenever you always see these kind of evil characters and things, and then they get injured afterwards and kind of go, well, I mean, obviously the cast was really great. And you're kind of going, what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Why isn't he just skinning a live cat while having this interview?
Because he's using his job as like therapy. He gets all the crazy out. And then all that's left is like his absolute calm and nice.
Yeah. But it was really good. It was a really good film. It's worth seeing.
On the big screen. Definitely. There's some definite like crowd scenes where like you know, Paul's character is like a dot on screen, on a big screen. It's like I was watching thinking, that ain't gonna translate to small screen.
There is some very funny bits in it though. There was one bit where I think everyone got the Monty Python reference.
like that he's not the Messiah.
He's not the Messiah. So Javier Bardem, who's great in this film, is basically convinced that Paul, which is not a great... I mean, if your name's Paul, that's great, but it's not a great name for like a... I am the Lord, I'm Paul.
I mean, he's got four names by the end of the film.
Yeah, no, fair play. But there's one point where he basically says, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not the guy you're looking for. And he just goes, that's exactly what the Messiah would say. Yeah. And I think all three of us just went, he's not the Messiah, he's a very naughty boy. And we just... but there was a giggle, and I don't think this would happen in the US cinema.
No.
But there was a murmuring giggle across men of a certain age in the cinema, and everyone kind of went, I get that reference.
Yeah.
But it was just... What a film.
But I think the thing, what's nice is like that it's good enough that it can get away with that,
which
you might sort of, you might fear undercuts the film, but it's confident enough to go, yeah, we can have a little laugh at the ridiculousness. That's like the topic it's looking at is like how ridiculous fundamentalism is.
Yes.
Is one of the things in the film. But visually just... stunning, and Hans Zimmer's like, I'm back!
So there's an hour long, in the first film there's a scene where they deploy the Emperor's shock troops, and there's a guy and they're all getting blood on their hands, and it's raining.
Yeah.
And there's a guy throat singing. All I hear is someone's cut that for an hour. Right, and apparently someone goes, I use this as my running track, and you're like, holy crap! It's like, it's just imagine an hour of going.
That's a good impression. Yeah, good.
And the whole thing, and I was just like, oh my god! But so I played it, and I was just like, it is something deeply meditative about it, but it is just like throat singing. It's very strange. But also, someone also said that if you know this misremembered things, if you listen to it. And you think that they're saying hamburger, cheeseburger, they are. Because he goes, hamburger, cheeseburger, and you go, what? Anyway, but absolutely bonkers. However, here's my hot take.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want a part three.
You don't want a part three.
I don't want a part three.
Why?
Because I know how truly bonkers it's going to go.
Mm.
It's, I mean, the books, the first book, phenomenal.
Mm.
The second book, okay, it's a bit, and then it just gets really weird.
Mm.
Really weird. Like they're bringing people back from the dead because someone transforms into a sandworm. Because,
oh, wow.
They just, then it skips forward 3,000 years because.
Wow. Okay.
It's absolutely bonkers.
Okay.
And I don't.
I mean, It did make me want to go back and read. I've only ever read the first book. It wanted me to make, this is the, one of the things about the film is like, yeah, I want to read, I want to, it made me want to get more into the story. So like, yeah, I want to go back and read the book.
Yeah.
But I am tempted, knowing that there's potentially, almost certainly a part three, because you know, money people will go, more money, please.
Yeah.
I mean, right, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think, whether you like it or not.
Well, okay.
But yeah, I was sort of tempted, like, maybe I'll read the next book just to find, yeah, because I hear it's bonkers and I want to, And I want to pretend if the film's going to come along and I've got no choice, maybe I need to like temper my expectations, right? Reading the second book and going, oh, okay, yeah, this is going to suck.
The second, so assuming that they split the second book into two parts again because it's a huge book, it's a very boring story.
Mm. Right, so you think it's just they're screwed unless they depart from the text,
unless they have to, because it just goes absolutely bonkers. It just goes completely off the rails.
Hmm.
And I don't want it.
You think that you can't take the audience on that journey? It's just like too far.
I think you lose a lot of people. I think the second book is really quite dull.
Hmm.
And then the third book is where it goes completely mental,
right.
Like absolutely bonkers. But the second book, not well, there's a lot happens in the second book, but nothing of it is particularly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that because it sort of pulls back from
it does.
The small
it,
story
it,
of
yeah,
it, Paul basically, yeah. And then like goes galactic,
well,
and then it's
no, it doesn't go galactic. You're thinking it's going to go galactic, but it doesn't. It actually goes really small again, and you go, oh, but. Isn't he supposed to be running like the universe now or something?
Yeah, that's sort of where it leads it.
Yeah.
Like there's a sort of a, well, I don't, you know, spoiler alert, but there's like, right, let's go holy war the entire galaxy.
Yeah, let's take over the whole joint. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I don't know. Mm. I don't want a part three.
Mm.
I know
yeah,
that's a really
fair.
Weird, but yeah. Just leave it, boys. Just leave it. And we were talking before we started recording, we were talking about Star Wars and the fact that the thing that broke my Star Wars love, and I no longer recognize Star Wars in any way, I can't be bothered with it anymore. Asaka is a city in Japan. Asahi is Japanese beer, and Ahsoka is the thing I have no interest in seeing. That's right. Anyway, no interest. But the thing that broke me was Star Wars 9, when they were riding horses on the side of an Imperial Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
And that was in the trailer. And I went in going, oh my God, this is going to be... And then the line that broke me was, somehow Palpatine returned. And
you spoiler alert, but also don't worry, because don't bother watching the film, because
just don't. And I just went, done. I was done like 6 years ago. And I'm only here just to kind of go, let's see if you can save it at the end. And no, you can't. But in the same way, I think June, two perfect films.
Mm. And I think leave it.
Just walk away, boys. You've done the impossible. You've made what is considered to be one of the unfilmable films. And you filmed it and you managed to do it.
Yeah.
And in fairness, David Lynch didn't do a bad job back in the 80s. Considering he had to squeeze the entire book into a single film, and he did it in 2 hours.
That film works.
Denis Villeneuve did it in six.
The 84 film works if you've read the book.
Yes.
Because then you can fill in all the gaps. Yes. If you've not read the book, good luck.
I watched June, 84 June, and I hadn't read the book at that point.
Mm.
And it made enough sense.
Yeah.
And you went, it's not a great film.
There's enough awesome in it to make you want to go read the book.
It's like a Flash Gordon fever dream, because it is very Flash Gordon in its color palette.
Right.
But as a result of that, I don't want a part three. Right, we need to move on, because I need to talk about something else.
Okay.
And it's not good.
Oh.
But you'll never see it coming, because... because unlike the protagonist of Madam Web, you are not doomed to see the future.
I like what you did there. Oh really? Dear, we're doing Madam Web.
We're only doing Madam Web, so I can talk about my other problem.
Oh,
I went and saw Madam Web.
Yeah.
And first of all, I went and saw it with Little B. So Little B has become quite obsessed with all forms of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And wants
which
to see
is
all...
a fair thing for her, someone of her age.
Yeah, she's preteen, so
and
she's
you're
all about
and you're bringing her up right.
And I am, thank you. But we went to see Madam Web, and Madam Web is not a good film.
Hmm.
It's not a. Is it a bad? It's not a bad film,
right?
But it's not a good film.
Yes,
it's got plot holes you could toss a cat through.
Mm-hmm.
It's got product placement that is ridiculous,
ridiculous. Really?
And the even more ridiculous thing is the product placement that it is. They've just gone through an entire logo change. So all the money that they spent is now no longer useful.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's now no longer useful.
Amazing.
Because they went, but then I'm thinking, did they do the logo change because the film stank so much? They went, we can't be associated. We saw a lot of film. Not enough, we need to change the logo immediately. Right? So that's my current thinking on that.
Oh,
right?
Wow. The amazing Spider-Man product placement.
Yes. Hmm. But we went to see it in Wobbly Vision.
Oh, like you did
like
with
Spider Across the Spider-Verse.
So
it
like all spidery things now
so
wobbly.
All Marvel superhero films, we have made a pact that we have to go and see them in wobbly vision. Now, when I say wobbly vision, this is a...
is this the 4D thing?
This is the 4D thing. So you've got, you're sitting in a row of four seats, and they're on actuators, on gimbals, and the whole seat will move.
Or in short form, they wobble about.
They wobble about. The whole thing, and they'll vibrate and they'll wobble and it'll blow air at you.
Yep.
And it also sprays water at you. But it doesn't spray water at you very often. But there is one point. So we get in. The first thing that Little B does is turns off the water. And then when she's not looking, I turn the water back on. Right? Because that is a dad.
You have to.
Dad. That is automatic dad stuff, right? Because if I don't do that, I have to hand back my dad badge.
Yeah.
Right? That's the way it works.
Yes.
People are just kind of going, no, that's not really fair enough. Yeah, I'll do that. There's one point where she's trapped in a car and the car goes over a bridge. Because obviously, whenever there's a car and a bridge, there's always a person. It always tips over.
Especially in Spider-Man. Like, especially.
No, but so it tips over, hits the water, and we get splashed, right? So it goes, and the seat's like jiggling about. And in Wobbly Vision, it's actually really good fun. There's one point where there's a lot of car chases. Basically, I haven't even told you the plot yet. I'm just describing my chair. My chair is more interesting.
That tells you a lot about the film.
So, Madam Web is a prequel to all the Spider-Mans. It's before Peter Parker is born. In fact, Peter Parker is born...
Which of the Peter Parkers? Any of them?
The new one.
Oh, okay.
Tom Holland Peter Parker. He's born during this film.
Oh, okay.
And we get to meet Uncle Ben,
who
is a paramedic with Cassie, who is Madam Web.
Right.
So
interesting.
He's a paramedic.
I mean, so this sounds interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing a good job. So she is in an accident, and because her mum went looking for spiders in the Peruvian jungle in the 1970s, it has her
That's
accident
a good because
her accident has triggered her latent spider powers.
Oh right, you know okay. Oh right, so her mum got bit. or something?
So, but she doesn't get any like proper spider power. She can't climb up walls and shoot webs and stuff.
Okay.
But she can see the future because apparently spiders can see
spiders
the future.
Yeah, now
she's being chased by somebody who also has been bitten by a magical spider, and he's got proper spider powers. He can like climb up walls and stuff.
Right.
And jump off things and land and do the superhero landing.
Right.
You know, the superhero landing, you go to the superhero landing.
Yep.
He can do that because that's obviously good. Superpower. But he can't shoot webs, but he can just jump around. And he wears like a proper, like a looking like a dark Spider-Man suit. Like he looks like Spider-Man, but he's a baddie.
Okay.
So he's been also bitten.
Is that another one of the superpowers you get from spiders? Is like designing your suit?
Yeah, I don't
know. Seems to
be. And I don't know. There's also, he turns up like first of all, it's a bit of an aside. He's suited and booted, right? This guy's actually, he's actually quite good. He's suited and booted the whole time. So he's got a decent suit on, but he's walking around barefoot.
Ooh, okay.
In New York.
Ouch.
In 2003.
No.
Don't. That really took me out of the film. I was just like, ooh, mate, no. I mean, I walk around my house barefoot, but you know why? Because I hoover my house.
Yes.
Right? I know where it all is. There's no Lego in my house, right? That's there is Lego in my house, but it's not on the floor because I don't have that kind of kit anymore. But you don't walk around barefoot around New York.
No.
But then he suddenly changes from suited and booted and barefoot into his Spider-Man gear. But he doesn't, it's like, it's blink and he's in the gear. And I'm like, well,
how does he do that? Yeah.
Because is it like, and then I'm getting thrown about a lot as well because he's running and I'm trying to,
the chair is distracting you from
a lot of the stuff. So my first thing is if you're going to go see Madame Web, don't go in with critical thinking and also have a wobbly chair.
So is it like a two beer film?
it's a two beer or it's a wobbly chair film.
Right. Yeah. Something that will take you out of your.
Something that will slightly distract you.
Yeah. Right.
But there's some good car chases. And by good car chases, I mean they're really wobbly on the chair. There's one point where they do a J-turn, and I swear the entire chair did a 180. I was looking at the projectionist going, what the hell? So that was quite a fun. But yeah, it's not a very good film. But it's a future bad film club film.
Right.
Because it's not terrible, but it is silly.
Good.
And it does mean that you can go every time there is a blatant piece of product placement from the company on me, drink.
Right.
So every time if someone tries to shoehorn with great power comes great responsibility clumsily into the dialogue in any way, shape or form, drink.
Okay.
If somebody foreshadows something that you know has happened. At one point, Ben, who's the paramedic, who's played by Adam Scott, by the way.
No way.
Yeah, so worth watching for that.
Okay.
He becomes an uncle and he says, well, it's great. The great thing about being an uncle, it's all of the fun of the kids about the responsibility, right?
Uh-huh.
And she goes, oh, wait, you find out. I'm like, hang on, does she know that he's going to die? Because, I mean, you kind of go, listen, mate, you might want to just, anyway, so. Yes, so it's a future bad film.
Okay, because you can laugh at it.
Yes, but it's not terrible.
Yeah,
it's just objectively bad.
Yeah. Okay.
However, it does remind me of the fact that next week we're watching Morbius for Bad Film Club.
Yeah.
So next week, so we're recording this on a Saturday morning. Next Saturday, which is the 23rd, 8 p.m. UK time. We are going to be watching Morbius with Jared Leto. So if you would like to join us. It's Morbin time. You can join us for a watch along. We open up a special Discord channel. Someone's done a poster.
Yes, already.
One of our players, Pat, has done a poster.
He is our poster meister now.
He is, yeah. We had someone do the posters. I'm in the process of writing the drinking rules. And the rules are, I'm really struggling. But the rules are going to be amazing. And basically, watch the film, we rip it to pieces on a Discord, have a bit of a giggle, and everyone gets a bit of a laugh. My wife has already point-blank refused to watch this.
Whereas my wife is very excited to watch it again.
Up for it, yeah. So, just my God. So that reminded me. But yes, so it just underlines the fact that I don't think Sony can make a good Spider film.
Well, it's been a very long time since.
Yes, but we got Kraven the Hunter coming as well, which looks okay.
Which is another Sony Spidey-verse
non-spider film. Yeah. Anyway, so I think they should.
I've seen nothing about it, so.
I think I've seen a teaser for it, and Aaron Taylor Johnson's in it. And I quite like him. As Kraven the
titular
hunting guy.
Hunting guy,
yeah.
Right.
And I don't know why it's a film. but I'm guessing money. But we are going to go and see it in Wobbly Vision. So ultimately, are you up for going to come and see Kraven the Hunter with us in Wobbly Vision?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Unanswerable question. Let's move on. So, Madam Web, not a great film, not going to win any Oscars. But you know who did win all of the Oscars?
Oh!
I'm on Segway fire today. Not on a fiery Segway, Segways are on. Okay, that was a poor segue.
Right. Oppenheimer!
Oscars. We need to talk about the Oscars briefly because they were this week. They were Monday.
Yeah. So, yeah, very recent.
Very recent. First of all, we did a quick scan through who's going to win all the Oscars. And I put my pick down for best film, best director, actor, actress, supporting actor, and supporting actor, and got them all right.
Nailed it.
Absolutely nailed it. And this is the first year I haven't put money down.
Oh, what?
But I don't think I would have won anything. If I put £5 down, I would have got £5.20 back because I think I picked the very clear winners.
Oh, like the obvious
so,
stuff.
So, best film, Oppenheimer.
Yep.
Best director, Chris Nolan for Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Best actor, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer.
Everyone was
best supporting
that.
Actor, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer. Best actress,
Emma Stone for Oppenheimer.
No, the other one. Poor Things. Thank you.
Yeah, I got that muddled up with Poor. Was it? There's another film. I was having a conversation with someone, thinking that. What's the Korean film that was also
Parasite?
No, that was in the. Oh, anyway, I had like a 5-minute conversation with someone. They were talking about one film. I was talking about Poor Things. And then I suddenly was like, oh, hang on. Because they couldn't remember any of the actors or the character names. So I was just inferring that they were talking about Poor Things. It was, it's about the, people listening are probably shouting out at me now. It's another two-word title as well. And I think it's like starts with a P or something.
I'm just going to let you just...
Yeah, whatever. You fill it in at home. You know what I'm talking about.
And just to complete my thing, it was also a Divine Joy Randolph for the
best
supporting actress.
Yes.
So there were the ones. And then Barbie won nothing.
Yep, apart from everyone's heart when they did the I'm Just Ken on stage.
Did you watch that?
Yeah, just funny enough, I caught up with it watching it last. I didn't watch the Oscars, I went to YouTube and it was like the number two recommended thing is like...
Slash came in on the guitar, yes. There was things that were just...
Did you see the doctor was like knocking around?
He was,
yep.
Very strange, very strange. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so no surprises?
I think, wasn't it Lily Gladstone was possibly, there was a lot of talk about her, so I think possibly Emma Stone winning was not a huge surprise, but maybe a little tiny upset.
A little bump in what they thought it was going to be.
But other than that, no, I think it was, very predictable.
Yeah. But you've seen...
And the BAFTAs and the Oscars very lined up this year.
They usually...
Unlike some years, I think recently they've been some quite divergent stuff. Yes,
Cillian Murphy's Irish.
Yes.
And Oppenheimer was the biggest film.
Yeah. So,
you've seen Oppenheimer?
I have not yet seen Oppenheimer. Oh, listener, Birch is almost melting down at this point.
What?
I will watch it just when it comes out on something that I can see on.
Oh, I'm so angry with you. Right, you've not seen... Yeah, that's. Have you seen Barbie?
Yes. Ow! Jesus, man.
Sorry. I don't have more self-control. You haven't seen...
No.
Genuinely haven't seen Oppenheimer?
I haven't seen Oppenheimer.
Wow, really surprised me. I'm genuinely surprised because I went to see Oppenheimer on opening day.
Yeah, I know everyone's seen it.
I came out...
I just didn't get around to it.
You have to see it on the big screen because I came out with a suntan. I mean, they...
Yeah.
It's... Yeah. But they set off a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't...
Okay.
It just didn't super appeal to me in the moment.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
And this is just a suggestion, but if you are going to watch Oppenheimer,
mm-hmm.
can you watch it without pushing pause?
Right.
And in the darkest room that you can find. So turn all the lights off and put it on the biggest screen you've got
and sit and really close.
And watch it in the dark because it requires that level of attention because it is it's one of those films. People are going to go, oh, you must see it on the big screen. But Oppenheimer, it's a really good film and they set off a nuclear bomb halfway through. Mm. Halfway through as well, you kind of go, I don't know where they're going to go from this. And they go, whoa. Ultimately, it is basically a HR meeting. Ultimately, right? The film is.
And when you say that, that's why I'm not like, oh, must rush to see the HR the movie film on is like.
The film is a meeting with HR. And it's going through why we're now having this HR meeting. This, right, okay. Effectively it is, but it's utterly gripping. Unlike, okay. I've had a few HR meetings that were basically like this cast of the plot to Oppenheimer. There was people accusing me of being a communist, someone let off a bomb. But that's just my life. Mm. But it's worth the watch. It's worth the watch. So yeah, you should definitely, but yeah, watch it.
I will see it.
Big screen. Yeah.
I don't know what was going on. See, something like that.
No, fair play. Okay. Yeah. Right. Wow. I think on that bombshell, I think we're done.
Yep.
Can we just leave it at that?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Seems like a really short episode.
I know. It's like what we always promise we'll do.
I know.
we're actually doing it.
Should we just doss around for like 10 minutes and talk about. We covered Madame Web.
Yeah, I think we're done.
New rules. We haven't talked about the thing that we're going to do this.
No.
We'll talk about that next
time.
Right. Okay. Right. Well, I don't know. Have another biscuit and go home.
Mm.
Sweet.